Welcome in, Braves Today. BravesToday.com, all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to PlainsCoffee.com, enter promo code Braves, get 10% off. We'll talk about that more later because right now it's all about, I got to get through this fast. I feel like I'm being rushed. It was less than 2 hours. Max Fried, complete game. He's an all-star again. The old Max is back. He's not Blister Max. I'm so excited, Lindsay.
I mean, this was less than 2 hours. It's 1:54. So, yeah. Okay, so if you somehow missed the game, Max Fried, complete game shutout. 3 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts on 92 pitches. 69 of those were strikes. It's a really nice stat line. You know, under 100 pitches, complete game shutout, that's a Maddux. I've been told that under 2 hours for a game is a Mark Burley. So he gets both a Maddux and a Burley. I didn't know that was a thing. A friend of mine covers the Diamondbacks, and he sent me a text and was like, that's a Burley. Like, okay, cool. But no, yeah, Max Fried was...
That's purple Diamondbacks Burley. That's not new Diamondbacks.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Either way, just absolutely dominant. Yeah. One of... I haven't gone through all of them yet. This is like the third time he's had a Maddux. But I do think this is one of the best individual game stat line pitching performances of Max Fried's career. I'm not putting this above 2021 World Series Game 6 or anything.
Right.
But from a stat line perspective, this has got to be one of the most dominant starts of his career.
Peter Moylan said the same thing post-game. He did say that this is the best regular season game. As you just said, he used basically the same line. He didn't say what you said, but he did say that I'm not going to count playoff games. I am going to say that this is the best I have seen Max throw in the regular season. The last complete game technically went to Max in April of last year, but it was only 5 innings and it got rained out.
No. It was 7 against the Mets. I remember that. It was a Friday because then Saturday was the doubleheader.
Oh, okay. Well, then Washington Post got it wrong.
Oh, well, maybe it was 5. Maybe I'm wrong. Either way, I remember it was against the Mets on like a Friday night that got rained out. It was either 5 or 7, but yeah, he did it.
Was 5. You're right. It was the Mets, but it was only 5. It got rained out. It got rained out after 5. And then, but the last 9-inning complete game was our good buddy Bryce Elder.
Against Washington, right?
Yes, September of 22.
Two against Washington.
Blowout.
Yeah.
And so this is not something that Braves fans have seen a lot of in the last few years. I don't know that there's a reason Lindsay and I are kind of giddy about this. This just does not is with the pitching staff and the woes and the injuries and the missed starts and the bringing up of minor leaguers and the sending back of minor leaguers and the trades and getting guys from the bullpen like Lopez, who's going to throw tomorrow, to now be a starter. It's just something we haven't seen a lot of, Lindsay. And I don't think Major League Baseball's seen a lot of it.
No. And the part of the reason I think I'm excited is kind of digging under the hood of it and how this reminds me so much of 2022 Max Fried, which, if you forgot how good he was in 22, everybody who's listening, 14-7, 2.48 ERA, was the runner-up to Sandy for the NL Cy Young. Like, this is vintage Max Fried. And by that, I mean the things that he was doing is similar to what he did in 22. So, this is in the takeaways, by the way. If you're BravesToday.com, I kind of go into this a bit in the takeaways. But Max Fried's kind of changed his pitch usage from 22 to now. In 22, it was four-seam fastball, curveball, slider change. He had a sinker as well. And from then to now, he's really kind of evolved with the slider versus the sweeper. Max's slider is a vertical breaker, not a big breaking ball like the curveball is, but it's a vertical breaking slider. And then the sweeper obviously is mostly horizontal movement. And he's been gradually increasing the sweeper usage and decreasing the slider usage. I'm trying to get the exact numbers here. Coming into today's game, he was at 14.4% sweepers, 3.4% sliders.
Wow.
And he had been, again, in 2022, he was like 18% slider, didn't throw a sweeper at all. Tonight was very much back to the old school Max Fried. He threw the four-seam fastball. He threw the slider 16% of the time. He threw a grand total of 1 sweeper. Got a strikeout of Luis Arraez on probably the funniest at-bat of the year, because he comes in on him, puts him on the ground, comes in on him again, and hits his bat for a strike.
Yeah.
Those were, I believe it was a four-seamer and a sinker on those two. He tried to front door the sinker. Mm-hmm. And then from there, throws a sweeper into the opposite batter's box, and the rise makes the ugliest swing that dude probably ever made. But he went back to that 2022 thing, right? He threw the changeup more, which you would expect as a lefty pitcher, facing a lineup with some good lefties,
right,
like the Marlins have. I use good in air quotes. Yeah. Professional hitters that are lefties, right? but, you know, the sinker was a little bit more usage than in 22, but it was very much a back to the fundamentals of who Max Fried is as a pitcher, this five-pitch guy that does a lot of vertical breaking stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The slider, the curveball coming down off of the fastball up. He's playing the changeup and the sinker on the edges of the zone. Phenomenal performance from Max Fried, and that's why I'm so giddy, is if he has just decided, I'm just going to go back to what I did when I was dominant, and he's dominant again, that is exactly what Atlanta needed this season.
This is what you and I were hoping for.
Yeah.
Not every time out, we understand. And even that year that you talk about, the 22 year, 14-7, he didn't have a team averaging six runs a game in 2022. If think about how good his record would have been, and he probably should have won the Cy Young if he would have had a team that averaged six runs a game like this team does.
In Sandy's defense, Sandy Alcantara, generational year that year.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to remember the exact thing here, but I want to say he had some stupid number, like six complete games or something absurd, yeah, where it was like generationally great. It's hard to say, yeah, that dude didn't deserve to win the Cy Young. So any other, here it is. Yeah. Six complete games, including one full shutout, 228 innings.
That's
like,
insane.
Eight war. He beat Max by two war on the year. Yeah. Like, Sandy deserved the Cy Young that year. But if not for Sandy, it's absolutely Max's award running away, because the ERA, the innings, the win percentage, all of that stuff. And if we're back to that, that's a great thing for Atlanta.
I think that one of the things that impressed me the most was his location tonight. He had them on their toes. He had them fishing. He put the ball where he wanted to put it. 69 strikes out of 92 total pitches.
Nice.
Could have been less than 92 pitches. Yeah, as well. And if, you know, Riley boots the ball, there's a couple of flares that fell. So I can't express enough how impressed I was with his pitch sequence. Answer me this, Lindsay, is I don't know as much about it. You spent some time down there in spring training with him. Is that Darno behind the plate? Is that coming from the dugout, or is that Fried? I mean, who's calling this game?
That's Travis Darno calling the game. That is, yeah. Atlanta, for the most part, the pitchers, they may have the PitchCom speaker. They don't keep the PitchCom box on themselves. They're not calling the game. The catchers are calling the game. That was a Travis Darno game. Now, obviously, they meet pregame. They discuss what they want to do. But that was a Travis Darno game call right there. And so, tons of credit to Daddy Darno. Not only is he crushing home runs and picking up multiple hits and RBIs and all of that, he's called a great game. I guarantee you, I don't remember exactly. I don't think Max shook off him more than five times all game, if that.
No.
I mean, going forward. And you mentioned the locations. I pulled up on StatCast. I'm looking at the pitch plot where it shows where all the locations of the catches. There was exactly one slider in the middle of the zone. Everything else was touching one of the edges or outside of the zone. Like, that's the kind of thing you're talking about. You know, is a lot of the curveballs are down. There was a couple that were in the bottom third of the zone. One slider in the middle third of the zone. Everything else is on the outside. It's great performance for Max Fried all around.
I don't know what the scouting report said about the home plate umpire, but both pitchers were getting the down and in to righties, and Max Fried lived there. And there were a couple of caught lookings, and the reason being is because batters were just giving up on it, thinking it was too down and in, and he was getting that call. I think that helped, but also think that helped the Marlins too. I mean, even though they lost 5-0, they got Ozuna went down on a strike on down and in on the right side. I want to say that Arcia did a couple of times. Arcia with an 0-for tonight, one of the best hitters on the team, but didn't pull away with a hit. However, you mentioned
he did have three hard hit balls.
He did.
He stung some balls. Speaking of, Max Fried only gave up 4 hard hit balls all game. 2 to Josh Bell, 1 to Avisel Garcia, 1 to Tim Anderson. I don't think it, and none of those were hits. So there you go.
No, they were hit. A couple of them were hit right at people. I mean, Arcia, no one line drive had to be one of those that it was hit right to him at short. But we mentioned Daddy Darnold just a minute ago with a couple of hits on the night. Apparently he can keep the ball in the ballpark. I wasn't quite sure, but he did do a good job of doing that this evening, came up with some key hits. I will ask you this, since we're talking about this game in particular, Olsen.
Sorry. I keep jumping around. The 3 Marlins hard hit balls were a collective 4 outs, 2 ground outs and a grounded double play. So yeah, the 4 hard hit balls were 5 outs by the Marlins because it was a line out, 3 ground outs. And one of those was a double play. So, okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. One a double. And he did that a lot tonight. When he did have a runner on, he was throwing ground balls for double plays and able to get out of the inning. So that makes a huge difference as well. No, I was going to mention talking hitting a little bit before we get back to Max. And Olsen still continues to struggle at the plate, 0-4 on the evening as well.
Yeah, and there were some conversations about his weight transfer isn't necessarily completely correct. They're trying to get that worked out. Again, he's too good to slump for very long. I did a radio hit on Tuesday afternoon, and we had a conversation about Matt Olsen, and he's being pitched a little bit differently. The Braves in general are getting more elevated fastballs than they got last year, less breaking pitches in general, as well as less breaking pitches in the zone. But some of it too is, you know, and he talked about it with, it sounded like the radio crew from when I was listening, you know, just some weight transfer issues, not staying fully back on his back leg and things like that. Some minor stuff that they're working on clearing up. But yeah, 0-4 tonight brought him down to a .212 batting average. Mm-hmm. And I said on here the other day, I didn't think this would be the series where he got hot simply because you were facing a couple lefty starters. And he's historically been better against righties than lefties. And so I didn't think it was going to be the series. It looks like it's not really, but again, while you've got Marcell Ozuna raking, while you've got Travis d'Arnaud, Adam Duvall went 2-for-4 with a homer. Michael Harris went 2-for-4 with an RBI. Like, when you got all these other guys behind you hitting, you can wait out a Matt Olsen slump. You can wait out an Austin Riley power outage. You know, I think he's still sitting on just a couple home runs for the year. Yep. You can get past all of those things because you have such a great bottom of the lineup that's just raking.
This is that top-to-bottom lineup that we talked about at the first of the season. Yeah. We'll get back to pitching here momentarily. Go to plainscoffee.com, grab you some fresh roasted beans that'll be shipped straight to your front door or back door, I guess, depending on where you want it delivered. And they will be more than happy to put those in the mail for you tomorrow. Just go to plainscoffee.com, enter the promo code BRAVES, get your 10% off flavored coffee, regular coffee, or you can get the teas. Be sure to go to plainscoffee.com and get your 10% off by entering the promo code BRAVES. We mentioned pitching. So you got Elder that had a great outing. You've got Fried who saved the bullpen. Again, this is awesome. That means we've got a lot of fresh arms down there in the pen if Lopez can't go very long as far as tomorrow's concerned. I told you Lopez, 18 innings, 18 Ks, 2-0, less than 1 ERA. He is one of the hottest pitchers on the Braves staff. And right now the Marlins can't hit the baseball. This looks promising for the Braves going into the third and final game of the season.
Yeah, knocking on the series. Knocking on wood here that we didn't just jinx that.
All those positive stats I just threw out, he's given up 9 hits tomorrow and 5 home runs. I can just go ahead and tell you right now.
the big thing for me about Ronaldo Lopez and the big question I had about the conversion from starting to relief is where his velocity would be settling in. And he's averaging 95.2 miles an hour on his fastball. As a reliever, he was living 98, 99, but he's living in 95. He can reach back. I've seen him pull 97s out as he needs them. That was one of the big questions. And then also the pitch usage. He's integrated that curveball a lot more than I maybe expected he would. He was really just fastball slider as a reliever, which as a reliever, you can do that. You can be a 2-pitch guy. But the curveball, 11% of the time. He's thrown an occasional changeup. I still don't necessarily love the changeup. It's a little bit too hard for me. I don't love the movement on it. But 3% of the time, he's throwing it, you know, 3-4 times a start, just enough to steal a strike here and there to keep you honest if you're sitting on a fastball. The big thing here, you've seen how Atlanta's built in extra rest days. All of his starts have been on Tuesdays up until this week when it's Wednesday. So extra days of rest every single week. And it feels like Atlanta's going above and beyond on the rest for him and for Sale and for Morton.
Yeah.
Because the goal with Lopez specifically, he's the guy we're talking about. The goal, it feels like, is we don't want to have to move him to the bullpen later in the year because of an innings concern. You know, he threw 66 last year, 65 and a third the year before that. You really can't go more than about 50 innings above a previous thing like that before you start having concerns about effectiveness and health and all of that. I don't think one start a week is going to be sustainable all year, but right. They're obviously going as long as they can, keeping him in the rotation because he's been the best pitcher on the team. He has an ERA of 0.5, and I believe we've won every single one of his starts. So, yeah. I mean, whip of under one, that's a lower whip than Max Fried had in that Cy Young runner-up year. He was like a 101 that year. So, Ronald Lopez, I have big expectations for him tomorrow. I don't think he's going to compete with Fried going 9 innings, but everything we've seen from him, 6 innings, no run or 1 run feels entirely realistic based on what he's done and based on, honestly, how anemic this Marlins offense we've seen the last couple days.
How far did they push him, Lindsay? Because he's had an extra day of rest. The bullpen did not have to go today. They went very limited with Elder, and they get a day off on Thursday before they play on Friday. So did they – I know we've always talked about with he and Sale, we're good with a 5-and-dive. We're good getting 6. If we can get 6 2/3, we're really happy. If we go – if you see the 7 number down there in the bottom box, we're real happy with Sale or Lopez. So how far did they push him as far as the game is concerned?
I think you have the luxury tomorrow of if you want to if you get a huge lead and you want to pull him early, him early. If his pitch count isn't awful, but he's had some high stress innings, I think they can back off a little bit and pull him early, knowing that, like you said, the pen didn't get working today. Yeah. They have a day off on Thursday. You have additional guys. You could do a bullpen game tomorrow if you wanted to. I'm not saying do it, but you could throw Dylan Lee one time through the order and then throw all the relievers out there and just push Lopez to Friday. They're not going to do that, but you could because of how much rest the bullpen has been able to get between Elder's long start and then Fried's complete game. So I don't think they push them very hard tomorrow. I think this is one of those starts where, while I don't think they'll do a Pittsburgh Pirates with Jared Jones and pull him at like 50-something pitches after 5 innings, I think you very well could see them after 5 or 6 be like, hey, man, call it a day. Save some bullets for later on down the season. Save some bullets. Let's go ahead and get the relievers some work. They need to get some work in because they haven't done a lot of stuff the last couple of days. And let's save them for next week. Save these bullets to use them down the line on a team, honestly, that probably deserves your bullets because the Marlins are not that team.
Yeah, no kidding whatsoever. They looked absolutely – they weren't even running ground balls out. And so I don't know if they've given up. I don't know if the Marlins are just in that spot right now where they just don't have any identity, so they're a little frustrated. So, and they when you go up against a juggernaut like Fried, it's easy to get demoralized rather quickly.
See, here's the thing. Is the Marlins offense good? No. But do they pitch well? Also no. Do they have a halfway decent defense? Again, no. But do they have, good fundamentals? Do they play hard? Do they hustle? Well, here's the issue. Not really. You're in a situation. This was a best possible scenario for the Braves. Of the Marlins team has, one, they lost the series to Atlanta last time.
Yeah.
And then, two, they've gotten beat up enough in the first game and a half of the series where they shut it down halfway through this game.
Yeah.
And so do I expect them to come out blazing tomorrow trying to get a win? Not necessarily. I think something like that, provided you're smart about it, that allows you to back off of some of the guys a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if Luke Williams checks into the game in the 7th inning playing first or third base.
Just
to give one of those guys, assuming it's not a close game, give one of those guys a couple innings off. Maybe Luis Guillorme gets some time at shortstop. I doubt it, but you never know. Just because that feels like one of those series. You've already won the series. You could go for a sweep. You could give some guys some rest, whether it's a day off or just get to them a little bit later in the game.
Be interesting to see when the lineup card gets dropped a little bit later on in the mid-morning to early afternoon. As far as, remember, this is a late game because both have the day off on Thursday, so this
7:20 p.m. Eastern.
Yep, this will be a night game, so not your typical midweek afternoon game. Be sure to go over to BravesToday.com for more information on all that stuff. Lindsey's got tons of articles that are coming out. As we said already, the recap of the game is up. Mad Max, thank you for showing us that pitching is not dead in Atlanta. That was awesome as far as watching that.
That was fun.
Game. And a real fun thing to watch, especially when you can do it in less than 2 hours. He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. That's Braves Today. Be sure to go to PlainsCoffee.com. Promo code Braves, 10% off. Lindsey, as always, thank you, man.
Thanks, buddy.